And I'm here with Don P. Davis at his home at 5228 Appian Way, Long Beach, California. The date is May 18th, 1982, and the interviewer is Ann Andrews.
So I'll begin with, where were you born, Don?
On its first week. It was in the county at the time, but it was in the 1000 block. And, in fact, I lived for quite a while before I finally got into the city, but technically, you know, that was the only place. At that time, we lived two blocks east of Alamitas, I think.
Uh-huh.
And Alamitas was the city limits, the eastern city limits.
Okay.
So then we moved to, I built a house in 1914, and we moved to Cherry. And they didn't like the city limits, but we were on the east side of Cherry, and the west side was the first side in the city.
Yeah. So you were actually, you were born in 1910?
Mm-hmm, 1910. And then we moved into another city, which was found by Belmont Pier. They had a city called Belmont that they got named. They hadn't started the thing and lasted for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
It was just about, I don't know, 20 square blocks or something right at the edge of Belmont Square. Then we moved to Las Vegas. And that didn't come into the city until 1927. So I wasn't in a city, but on the fringes.
What kind of work did your father do?
He was in the real estate business, and he had tennis too.
Oh, he was in the real estate business. When did he come to London?
Well, 1904, they got here, I think, kind of thing.
From where?
Nebraska. He graduated from the University of Nebraska. And I think they got here in 1906. He graduated from the University of Nebraska in 1904.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out here, and he was admitted to the bar, but he never practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't in politics, other than partisan politics. Yeah, I think he was an assistant tax collector or something back in 1914. I don't remember many people in town in that day, you know. And so, but he was in the real estate business. And then he was one of three Democrats in town at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember 1920 when Roosevelt was Assistant Secretary of the Navy. And Dad had the meeting, and the other two Democrats were attorneys, and they were in court. And so he thought they ought to have more than one person meeting him at the train, so he went the whole hall and got the head of the Republican. Why did you go up with him? Not because this before Roosevelt had this bill. I mean, he was completely ambulatory then. But,
was there some special reason Roosevelt was out, do you know?
Yeah, he was coming out to investigate the harbor or something. I don't know. Anyway, they thought it was pretty important. I don't think it was any Democratic thing, because there was no use coming down for a big deal if there's only three Democrats in town. Practically, that's all they had.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was official business, I think, as far as the Navy part was concerned, because, of course, we did have them here.
Yes, I've read a lot of things about the Navy shipyards during World War One and building ships and for the war and submarines and these kind of things. So.
Yeah, well, of course, I think Bethlehem stayed there, if I remember correctly. It seems to me we had a Bethlehem shipyard forever over there.
I just know a little bit about the Craig Shipbuilding and the California Shipbuilding Company, because I've read a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's a picture down at the in the harbor building. Have you been in the harbor?
No, I haven't been
in the harbor building, and they've got these pictures of the first launching of the ship. And so I've gone by there a half a dozen times. I'm down the road, but when I come downstairs, and then I get to look, and it was 1911 that the ship was launched, and I looked in. First thing I found was my dad's partner, real estate business, and then I looked in the background, and it was Dad. Well, it was early in 1911. I don't think there were a few guys there, but I think none of us had taken care of me, because I wasn't a year old yet. I don't
think. What was your father's real estate business name? What did he operate under?
Under Malcolm Davis.
He was Malcolm Davis.
No. Malcolm was his partner. It was Malcolm Davis. It was Malcolm Dash Davis.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, there are two of them.
I see. What was your father's first name?
Edgar. Edgar Franklin Davis.
And your mother's name?
Savella. And she died. Dad died in 1930, and mother died in 1949. And I had two brothers, and we had a baby sister that was 12 years younger. And lost the youngest brother, but the rest of us were all around.
What's your brother's name?
The one that's living
is
Bob. And he lives over, he's retired from Douglas. And he lives over in the Belmont Shores, over him place. My granddaughter lives over there. My sister lives in Preston. And my brother's widow still lives up in La Cunada. She stayed up there because her with grandchildren and to be close to that situation.
So you moved to Los Cerritos, your family moved there. What year did you say? I forgot.
1923. We didn't get in the city until 1927.
Did he build a house?
Mm-hmm. And I had a we went to the school out there. Had 8 grades.
Yeah.
3 rooms. You know, it was strictly a little country school type operation.
Mm-hmm.
But a very great operation because Mrs. Rice was the principal and she had about 4 or 5 teachers and we could mobilize the whole school in 5 minutes. We could be on wheels going someplace in case of dire emergency because they had mothers club from there. And we went up, every month we went up to the museum of the now science museum. I knew it was dinosaurs. And I always made the circus when it came to town. And back in those days, of course, the circus did also have a big parade. So we just wouldn't go to school that day. I mean, everybody needed to school. Mothers show up for the cars, and back benches showed up from someplace. And we'd go down and watch the parade. And then we always managed to get pretty good seats at there. So it was a lot of fun. And we got, we had algebra in the 5th grade. I mean, we got to school, we'd had, about the first couple of years, we'd had quite a bit of the stuff that they taught us. And I was in the last 4-year class at Poly. Then the next year, they made them all go to junior high school, so that knocked off them.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Polly had had 4 years. I talked to other people who went to Los Cerritos and then they went to either Franklin or...
Well, you're talking to kids.
Yeah.
No,
you mentioned Mrs. Royce was the principal.
Uh-huh.
I read something about her and she sounded like a very interesting woman.
Oh, she was fascinating. And she retired and went to real estate business and did really well. She got in about, I would say, when the, let's see, when did she retire? 23. She was been there pretty long time. Now, the present principal of Valley, he was principal out there at Los Cerritos. Of course, the school is still there, you know.
And my girls went to Los Cerritos.
Did they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bob. That's he found the bell one time, and they got him a little shrine out there.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've seen the bell.
Yeah.
And,
I think they found it down in the basement or something. Mm-hmm. He was telling me about it.
Well, what I read about Mrs. Royce, you know, she had taught, was principal there, and she evidently lived in the area, but she went into real estate with the oil leases, too, doing quite a bit of business like that. And she had a son named Delmar.
Yeah, Delmar.
Did you know him? Or
yeah,
know
he was name? Younger than me. Yeah. Everybody's younger than me.
Oh, no. I talked to Ruth Craig Warren. She's older than you.
Yes.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, she's quite a guy, too.
Yeah, what was it like growing up in Los Cerritos?
It was great sports, and you know, I mean, we didn't have all the houses that they have out there now. And we had a pet goat. We
in New York.
Yeah, Mrs. Holton, the Holton's mortuary, Sure, it was quite a big place. Well, somebody, one day, had a rule that we just moved out there. And so somebody, as a guy, gave a, this part of the legal rule at this place to it. And so one of them took it back afterwards. She said, I want it. She said, I know three boys would just love to have this. And they're really smart. You know, you can train them better, easily better, and everything. They had a great time with us. And finally, when it got to a big, all three of us with a rope couldn't hold him. But we got him to some farm where I'd like burn a park or something like that. But my little brother in 21, 22, whenever it was, he fell off of a all day out there, and it was the one that they just put up. But we didn't do too much in Las Feridas, but this one they were selling. It was down the street about $3. And they were selling stock in it or something. But anyway, he went up and he fell off the second, fell 80 feet off the thing, and landed on his knees on the steel roof and rolled off in the cement sump, which fortunately never had anything in it since they'd never drilled or anything. So he was banged up for quite a while. And so he was down, he sat out there for about 3 months, and he picked the goat in the sequence down the street. First time the nurse caught us. You know, she came in and just had a fit, because the goat was little then, you know. And he was standing up, and brother was in charge, and he had his legs up like this. There was a few out there, and it was about 9 o'clock at night. She didn't know we were there, and we came up the fireplace, and the goat was just perfect. Never made a But it was quite scattered out there. Now, we lived on, at that time, we lived on Pacific, between Bixby and below Bixby, on the west side of the street. Harvey's lived up at the corner. There were only two houses on that side, and there were only two houses on the other side of the street. The Landburgers had a house down below, but there weren't too many people. But they were over on the other, they were towards Long Beach Boulevard a little more, but it was not grown up at all. Weston Place had quite a few houses on it.
They started drilling. There were some wells, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we moved out of there because we found to move the house. We moved the house over to Virginia Road, Marshall Place. But, yeah, we had to get out of there in 20. I guess it was 26. So we had a lease with the Gettys. That was when they were running new stringer wells back in those days. That's before they put it big in Mexico.
So you owned the land and retained the mineral rights
for
that land?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's gone now. I mean, we still got the mineral rights, but there's nothing producing over in that area.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I heard about things about blowouts along there. I talked with Tom Rowan, and I got out an oil map, you know, and he was pointing to different stuff.
I don't remember any blowouts in that area either.
He said it was a real hot well right there at Pacific and Bixby. But now he's saying that from what his father told him, because he wasn't born until about 25, 26.
I don't remember the one he got away over there.
Okay.
I could have. Because we were living down on 7th Place at the time, on the ocean. Okay. My last 2 years of high school, that's when we got out, because we made a couple of noise. We had a drum on both sides of it.
Oh, so you went from Pacific to Virginia Road?
We moved the house, but we didn't do that until later.
Oh, I see. So
we got out of there. We moved down to the first moment we got the house moved, we then we moved back. We just rented a house down on 7th Place.
Oh, I see.
Which was most delightful because we could see them every morning, you know. It was on the bus.
Yeah.
Home stairs down the back. There were four in my graduating class. I think they're all living.
Four?
Mm-hmm. You can't have very many. If you only got 2 grades, you can't have very many either.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still around for 2 girls. That's a long time ago, in 1923. So, from there, I went to Stanford. And went to pilot for 4 years, then went to Stanford, graduated from there, came out, went to business, went to service for 4.5 years, came back from that, with all my arms and legs, because nobody was doing any shooting at me. And I've gotten interested in politics before the war. I mean, the first time that I got interested, I think, was actively interested, was in 1938 when we were going to run. Norm Barker, who was the track coach at Pali, and he had experience. He'd been a state senator from Idaho, and he was a real great guy. And of course, in those days, we had the cross filing, Democrats, Republicans, and you can win, you can win both of them if you won the primary. So we went to the Republican wheel horses and so forth, and they said that they were, that they didn't have any candidates.
Now, different candidates for
Congress. We're going to run for Congress. Oh. We had some bum that we didn't like. And so we went out to, we were going to get both nominations.
Mm-hmm.
And because Norm was a Republican. And so.
You were still a Democrat?
No, I was a Democrat. I was a Republican. Only time I voted Democratic was. I voted for Roosevelt because I was mad at Hoover. I was a Republican then, but I was mad at Hoover. What he did when I was in school. I was quite interested. I was there the night, he was elected. And this was in November 28th. And so we didn't get the word, fast as they do now. So anyway, we got the word in place. We went downtown, paraded all around. It was about 10 o'clock, I guess, and they had a big house. It was up on a house above a hill above a house, a fraternity house. And it was an old Aztec style, and they had a gravel parking lot and flat, how the flat roofs are.
Mm-hmm.
Staggered up. And so we debated about coming up there because we said you're going to make a speech. we went and we cheered for him young, and finally Mrs. Hoover came out and kept everybody quieted down. And she said, "I'm sorry, but Mr. Hoover has gone to bed." Jesus. About 1,000 of us. In 1900 in school, anybody would have done it. I don't think anybody ever voted for him. And I thought afterwards, seeing how Roosevelt operated on the thing. Now, under the circumstances, we'd have gone up, if this had been Roosevelt, this is my idea of what he would have done. He would probably have been up to step with, but then he would have ruffled up his hair again and put on a bathrobe like he'd gotten up, to come out and see it. Hoover was an intelligent and a real great guy, but if there was a hundred ways to do a thing, 99 of them right and one of them wrong, from a PR point of view, he's managed to do it the wrong way. But a man of great intelligence and integrity to get a hat to the world, but he didn't do much for us that night, I understand.
So that was a fellow out the water with Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
So he was living there then?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
so you think that's your first introduction to politics?
That was my first introduction to politics. I wasn't very excited about it. But then the other was when we got this. So then at the last minute, then Republicans, we spent all our time getting romancing the Democrats, and the last day of filing where they took the fellow that was mayor of Long Beach and ran him. We won the Democratic thing, but that didn't do any good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to win them, you've got to win your own, despite
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then this fellow went back, and I think he got sworn in and died about 3 days later, so then we didn't have any representation for 2 years. And so we may have been really happy with that group of Republicans. We just tend to get rid of most of them, I think. But that's, you know.
So Mr. Barker never got elected to national office?
No. No, we didn't run again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then that, see, that was in 1938, when the war came up about that time. And then the place started booming about a different thing than they had before.
Well, let's go back a little bit then. You graduated from Poly in what year?
27.
And so when you went to Stanford, was there any special reason you chose Stanford over?
Well, well, I wanted to go to Dartmouth, but I couldn't get in. But actually, my let's see, I applied at Dartmouth. No, I didn't apply. I looked up the requirements of Dartmouth. First thing you want to do, you want to go, I don't know what the hell I would pick Dartmouth for, because I would have died. I hate the snow and everything else. But anyway, then I found out that you had to have 3 years of A and B in Latin. Well, I had 3 years of Latin, I had 2 years of A and B, and 1 year of C, which was my third year in C. And the reason I didn't do so well in that, I'd spent so much time, I had to make about a 30-minute talk in Latin at the big graduation of it. This is 4 years Latin. Big graduation, the big deal towards the end of the thing. So I would spend all my time doing all this preparation, and I did a hell of a job giving the speech. And then this woman gave me a C. I never thought there was any justice in that. I was the only guy that ever had to talk that long in last 9 years. But,
who were some of your teachers at Poly? Did you ever have Kathleen Arnett?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think so. She taught
Spanish, and then she did teach
mathematics. Yeah, she taught it. No, I didn't have her. I had Becca Ladwick, who taught mathematics with an iron hand. Mm-hmm. And the hard back of the ruler and the thing. I got some scars in the curves you can see here. But, and she taught algebra, and she disliked the girls. And so, Becca Ladwick, and then there was Miss Moulton, who was an English teacher. And of course, there was Harry J. Miller.
Yes. Morley?
Mm-hmm. And he was the vice principal. Okay. He was quite a guy. And then he went from there to Wilson when they started, yes. And so people say, you know, they say, did you go to high school in Long Beach? I say, yes. And they say, which one? And I thank them for the compliment. I think that I didn't have any choice. It was so far long ago, and they think. And, like when I see, you know, everybody bringing all these people down to school, and the buses picking them up, but they're folks driving them from 4 blocks up the street. It's what makes, you know, we have the world's biggest traffic jam down here, the interior, and they make the real emphasis. But when I started kindergarten, we lived in this house on Appleton, mm-hmm. on Cherry, and Wally Dorfman lived across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Now Wally was 4 in December, on the 3rd of December, and I was 4 on the 5th of February, and then the 12th of February, whatever it was, we started school at Horse Mann.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, and we walked up to Alfred Street, and of course that's out in the including the Bristol. And I remember Desmond, he doesn't, well, he remembers, but I accuse him of something. We started off on a Monday, and we walked up, and we got there in time, and everything went along fine. Tuesday, we came, and they had the trash barrels all out. So we got to school about 9:45 with chest arms loaded down. We were going out there on some kind of special dispensation because we're just about 3 blocks from Carroll Park, you know. But they had these 2 hotshot kindergarten teachers, Miss Birdie and Miss Lowell, I think their name was. They were really great, too. So they didn't say anything. They took us in, and it was just about time for recess. So they came in and they said, well, now, why don't you put the stuff in our room here? So, you know, so they trying to hide it from the rest of the kids, tell a lot. And so we did, and they never said a thing to us. So here they were, they let me come out. But they pick up the trash again on Friday, but now why don't you pick it up on the way home? You know, so you won't have to carry it so far. I looked at Doug and I said, you're older than I am. Now you're supposed to think of that. So that's fine. So Friday morning comes. We got the school on Wednesday and Thursday. And Friday morning comes. And we go to school. Pass out of the bus. On the way back, we'd been double crossed by those two chicks. They had picked up the trash and we got nothing.
Oh, dear.
But we wanted to go back to school. That way you couldn't depend on the help and all those things. So, doesn't even become a month. So, I mean, but they were great teachers, and I really, you know, when you can remember back that far about it, it's quite a big deal. I don't think I was in love with them. I don't remember that part of it. But.
When starting kindergarten,
Paul, was it? Yeah.
Kind of
a traumatic thing for little
children.
Mm-hmm. And I do remember it. My husband can recite all his grammar
school
teachers,
one, two,
three, but he just goes right on down the row. But he can't remember. Sometimes the name of the person across the street. Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't get mad at all, I'm sure. Now, like, you remember what happened 60 years ago and don't know what the hell you did last night. Yeah. Because one thing about it, kindergarten, and I used to argue with Newcomb and everybody else about that, I think that on today's market they're not starting, I think they're starting to change a little better, but the little kids don't have to have it like they used to have. You know, I mean, they used to be 2 miles to an experience and all that kind of stuff. Now these little kids are going in school when they're about three,
mm-hmm.
or they've got the cul-de-sac flat thing and they're playing with the thing, they know all about it, and they don't, and the kids are awful smart when they're 5 and 6 years old.
Yeah, they're exposed to so much more.
Sure.
TV and all of these kind of influences on them, I think.
Yeah, but they certainly don't need to learn how to play with blocks, which they were doing down here.
So Walter Desmond was going to be a friend when you were growing up then?
Yeah.
His father must have been one of the three Democrats.
Yes, he was. George Spicer, who was Fab attorney, was the other one. And we're Protestants, but we used to go back. I was raised down to St. Anthony. I think that's the only Catholic church we had in town at that time, as I remember. Mm-hmm. And it had a big basement in it, and we used to have these money raising funds all the time. And this is when I was about 4 or 5. Dad took me down, and they would buy tickets and what all this doing, you know, winning prices and stuff. Mm-hmm. He said, buy me a string of tickets like you, and I got a little white shoulder suit and a little hat on. I'm just, and so I'd go up with my ticket, and the guy would look kind of sneaky, so, and I couldn't see what really was. Get up on tiptoe, and the time it's time to remember to put it down in the hell of my hand. And, you know, this guy's looking at me to take care of this guy. I think the fear was fixed, too. And it said, I won. The first bet I ever made, I won. I won a live duck.
Oh, my.
And I screamed that live duck, but I just went over down to the house. You can imagine what I did. I think they threw the photo through your leg. I ate the duck. Just Judge Gresham, he was one of the greatest guys in the world. And he had been very, he was active on the bench for years and years and years. And they had a massive crowd at the funeral. And I think over 50% of them were guys that he'd put away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was two of them in that case because he was just a lovely man. You know, most they figured they had it coming.
I talked with Virginia Desmond.
Yes.
And she told me that Judge Desmond was about the first one to start this work the term I want, where they would put the man in jail on the weekends. And
yes.
For a week he would be allowed to work so that he could help support his
family.
That's
family. Right. Instead of just putting him in there and everybody being in trouble. Yeah.
That's right. And she said he was a very compassionate man.
Yeah, he was terrific. And he had at times innovations that he started, but that was, that's the writer. And his regiment's Virginia, too. Have you talked to him?
No, we haven't. We got to.
Yeah.
We really would.
And we had another one that was, there were two of us. Nelson Case was the other one. He died about 4 years ago. He was 2 days older than I was. I was, you know, I'm the youngest of the whole bunch.